stand by. We're about to begin. Good day, and welcome to the National All Vocational Rehabilitation Call. Today's conference is being recorded, and at this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Regina Bowden. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and I'll second that welcome. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to our quarterly All VR call, the second one for this year. Thanks, everyone, for joining us today. We have a full agenda, as usual, with some important updates to share. And then, as customary, we'll open the line for questions at the end. However, for today's call, before we address the updates, we're pleased to welcome a guest speaker. Her name is Alyssa Ness, and Alyssa is from our Office of Beneficiary Outreach and Employment Support. It's our sister component in ORDES, and we fondly refer to this component as OVOS, and OVOS staff are responsible for oversight on our EN contractors, the WIPAs, Work Incentive Planning and Assistance Project, and the PABS, Protection Advocates for Beneficiaries of Social Security. But Alyssa is here today to address questions that we receive regarding our timely progress. So, Alyssa, you have the floor. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Regina. Good afternoon, everyone. We restarted TPR on March 17th. 100 selection letters were sent nationally, but because of the selection process, the vast, vast majority were actually sent to ENs and DRs in the Boston region. In addition to the 100 letters, I wanted to let you know that 25 bennies were actually passed TPR based on earnings that are in our administrative databases. In other words, we didn't have to send any letters to them. Those bennies just passed TPR based on the earnings that we had. Again, because of the way that the selection is done, the vast, vast majority of those also were from the Boston region. And I did want to let you know that we have already received back 16, actually Maximus gets the responses from the bannies, the 1375. They've already gotten back 17 of the forms or responses to TPR. Okay. At this time, though, which is very important for you all, the portal is not open for TPR passes by the service providers. But because this is a live process, in other words, this is not a test, this is live. So what we mean is that a final TPR failure is going to result in the loss of CDR protection. And because of this, we greatly encourage you to offer any kind of assistance that you can to your bennies regarding TPR. However, as far as the portal is concerned, we do plan to start testing the portal very, very soon. I mean, it could even be this week or next week. So it is very, very, again, very possible that someone from SSA could actually be contacting you so that we actually get it. That will be more of a test. Again, we don't expect you all to go into the portal regarding TPR to either pass the people or see about what cases are pending, nothing. One thing that's important is that I want to emphasize that you will receive training on the portal prior to its being open for TPR passes by service providers. So, in other words, before we would ever expect you to use the portal for TPR, you will be trained. There will be, I'm actually responding to issues also that were sent in. There will be no opting out of TPR by service providers. Like a few years ago when we had TPR, it was set up differently. There was no portal. We did allow DRs to opt out. However, this time with this new TPR, there is no opting out. However, we will be explaining during the training that if you don't respond to the TPRs, because we realize that, like, you could have hundreds pending, I mean, once we really get started, you actually don't even need to respond to TPRs. We certainly would encourage you to, and we certainly encourage you to help your bennies, but if you don't respond to pending TPRs timely on the portal, Maximus will be adjudicating the cases as long as the Benny returns the 1375 timely. The notice says that the Benny needs to return it within 30 days. I can tell you we allow much more time than 30 days for that 1375 to come in. But, again, we will get into all of that in a lot more detail in the training once the portal is ready to be open for your input. That's really all that I had. If you do have any questions, I know that they're going to open it up for questions right now, but also if you don't ask something on the telephone and you can think of something later on, you can address any questions that you have to the TPR help desk at yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. And that is really all that I have right now to say about TPR and the status at the moment. So it's fine to open it up for questions.
Alyssa, thank you. This is Raquel. Can you do me a favor and repeat the email address again so we can post it for all of the TPRs?
Sure. It's TPR help desk at yourtickettowork.ssa.gov.
Thank you so much.
No problem.
All right, and at this time, Levi, we're going to go ahead and open up the lines to the VRs for questions only on TPR.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. And we'll take our first question from Eugenia Cox with the State of Oregon.
Hello.
Hi.
I posted some of the questions just so that they would be on the record. But when in the past what had happened was we never opted out as a state. We always would respond when we were asked to respond.
Okay.
But what would happen is the only ones that we would get notified about, and they used to send us a list, were the people that didn't respond. So it was kind of a last resort, so somebody responded. And so that's how we were hoping it was going to be now. But we were told a couple of years ago that we were going to have to respond along with the client. So how are we going to know which ones have responded and which ones haven't?
Okay. You will actually know, and again, this will be handled. I can tell you, none of these 100 cases went to your VR.
Oh, yay, thank you.
Okay. Okay, but once we start up, we really gear up to do this. I mean, of course they're going to go to your VR.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The way that you would not be at this point until you get the training, we would never ask you to use the portal at all for TPR. Once you receive the training on the portal, then we would hope that once the notice goes out, that becomes day one. You actually would have 55 days to respond on the portal. And by respond, you can't fail anyone. You can only pass them. The Benny actually, regardless of the fact that it's 30 days, they actually have 55 days also to send in the form to Maximus. Again, we don't expect anything from you all regarding TPR until you get this training, unless, of course, somebody calls. And they're not going to, they won't be calling you again, I know, because you didn't receive any of the 100 cases. That would only be sort of setting up like a test for the portal.
Okay, would we know if the person responded?
Okay. You're going to know because in the portal, there's actually a screen that you can go to, and you can tell who's pending. You can tell, like, if letters have been sent. There's a lot of things that you're going to be able
okay.
to tell.
Okay.
So don't worry about that. The one different thing here is that, okay, in the past, you would actually get I'm going to say an email alert
mm-hmm.
saying
okay.
that, okay, these are the people that you actually, you know, that we have sent 1375s to. So it came like that. This, there are no alerts. However, you will be able to go into a screen and tell exactly what's going on. You will know
okay.
what's pending, what notices went out. But again, this is going to be part of the portal training, so don't worry about that. You will
okay.
know it. But I will not even get into all of that because it, again, will be part of the training.
Okay. Then the other question that I have, and I've had other states ask me this question, if somebody's been in plan with us 10 years, maybe they're going to school, and they should have had several TPRs, like they should have had one first year, second year, third year, whatever. Are you going to start back at the first year, or are you going to start back on the last year? Because that's going to be
okay.
huge, because they may have never gotten one before.
Okay. I can tell you that if somebody has never received one before, it recalculates everything based on when your ticket was first assigned. So, yeah, you're right, because I can tell you, based on the ones that went out for, you know, the 100, there are some of them that are really high in there as far as review level. And it's because they have never received a TPR before.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody, but I can again tell you, out of the 100, the vast majority of them, they're, in fact, what they are is mostly a 2. But there are some 1s. I mean, they're very low. What we will do, the way the program runs, is that let's say you had a TPR in the past, and it was, I'm just going to say it was 3, and of course you would have had to have passed to get another TPR, or you would have had
mm-hmm.
to have successfully re-entered. Okay, what the program does is recalculates your review level, and okay, let's say that 3 was wrong, and it should have been, it should have been 5 or something like that. And then, of course, now, like a couple of years have gone by, what we're going to do is that if you had your past TPR that you passed at 3, it will never go up more than 1. It doesn't matter how long this thing has been assigned.
Okay.
In fact, it could stay at 3, depending on our calculations or the system, or it can go lower than 3, again, depending on the calculations, but it will never go up more than 1. So it's
okay,
not going to get the highest that one would be is 4.
Okay, so if they've never had one before and they've been with us in plan for 5 years,
okay,
they would get 2? Year 2?
No. If they have never had one before, and what is going to happen is that the system will go in there and calculate the review level based on how long the ticket has been assigned.
Okay. That's what I was afraid of.
Yes. It could be like 6 or 7. I'm telling you, it could be that. But again, most, I will... out of the 100, there are very, very few. I mean, a handful, if there are that many, that are above, I would say, 4.
Yeah, but you, okay, let me, but here's the reason I'm concerned. Okay. The vast majority of the 100 that you sent went to ENs. ENs don't keep individuals as long as the state and your agencies do.
No, they didn't. The vast, vast majority, hardly any went to ENs. They went to VRs. However, they did not go to your VR. Honestly, they went mostly to the VRs in the Boston region.
Okay.
There are very few ENs.
Yeah, because we keep people, you know, because we help people when they're going to school. And
yeah,
so, like I said, they've never seen these things before, and all of a sudden they're going to get a 7-year or 5-year TPR, and it's going to be pretty devastating, and somebody's going to have to deal with that kickback, and that's going to be the state VR agencies.
Well, remember, they have always been part of this process.
Yeah, but they've never seen one. And so they, you know, these are people that maybe got initial welcome, thank you for using your ticket with us, and they've never received anything since then, and they've just been in plan with us. 5 years down the road, all of a sudden they're going to get this 5-year timely progress review. You should have finished school. You should have been out. You should have been, you know, living on your own. They're going to get this letter that's going to be pretty devastating to them because they've never seen one,
theoretically, they were in the pool, so they could have been pulled. And I know for a fact, they were pulled. Because, again, there are very, very few that are basically above, like, 3 and 4. I mean, hardly any. If when I look at it, the vast, vast majority are at 1 and 2. But there will be some that are going to be pulled, and because they've never been pulled before, and I'm not sure why they were never pulled before, because the thing has been going on, except for in the past couple of years.
It's been longer than that.
We stopped in 2016, so it's only been a couple of years.
Okay.
But
yeah, so the people that never passed the first time are not going to get any notification at all.
No.
Okay.
The only way you can get pulled is you have to have passed your prior TPR, or you could have failed and you successfully reentered, or you never had a TPR before.
Yeah.
Either you just assigned a ticket, or there was some, you know, like, problem from before. Those are the ones that, like, could be at 7 or something like that.
Yeah.
They had never been pulled before. But from what I can see, there are very, very few of those.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
We'll go to our next question from Miraj Patel with the Social Security Department.
My question has to do with the Maximus Move audio. How are you reviewing that program with inputting your Social Security number, ticket assignment number, VREN identifier? Where did that training go, and how does it work with the portal?
Alyssa, hold on 1 second.
Okay.
Take that call offline. We're going to go ahead and take that call offline. Levi, can you go to the next call, please?
We actually have no further questions at this time.
Great. Thank you. Thanks so much, Alyssa. We appreciate your time.
No problem. Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, I guess it's me. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Raquel Donaldson. My part is pretty quick today. Just wanted to talk about a few things in regards to, first, on-site training. Our next on-site training is actually next week, right after the CSABR. It's next Thursday and Friday, the 12th and 13th. For anyone who hasn't had an opportunity to come, or you're brand new and you're looking to come for our two-day on-site training, reach out to the VR Help Desk. What we're trying to do now is, as opposed to possibly maybe having one or two people come, if we can get a larger group, that would be great. So if you reach out to the VR Help Desk, there's a couple of ladies, Linda Custis and Gloria Blow, who will be happy to follow up with you and get that all scheduled for any upcoming training. So that's it on upcoming on on-site training. Next is the state VR directory. I just want to let you all know that normally every 6 months I send the state VR directory out to all my SSA coordinators. If you know of your director or anyone else that's on that directory who doesn't need to be there or needs to be replaced, if you could just take the time to review that information and then send it back to me so I can get it updated, that definitely helps out when other VRs need to contact, when people here at SSA, the VR team needs to contact SSA coordinator or director. It's great to have good information on how to contact you all. And also, this is actually just for new SSA coordinators. Sometimes I'll get emails just asking about things that are more related to what's done inside the agency that I can't help with. So what I've done or what I do is I will refer those people to some of my veterans, air quotes, which is another reason why I like having an updated state directory. So you can reach out to people that I know have been here for a while. I know they know the job, and they can always give great tips on any questions you may have that, like I said, we can't answer here because it's something that you guys do just in the agency. So, and then lastly, we do have a new regional coordinator for our Atlanta region. Mr. Al Morton retired on us, I believe, in December, and now Alberta Perry is the new regional coordinator for the Atlanta region. I know a couple of you, when you were sitting in your cost formulas, were asking me about who it should be sent to. It is Alberta Perry, and her email address is Alberta, A-L-B-E-R-T-A dot Perry, P-E-R-R-Y, at SSA.gov. That is all I have for you all today, so I'm going to go ahead and pass it over to Ms. Shada Roper.
Good afternoon, everyone. So just a couple things to go over today. We're not going to go through the 310 denial unless you need clarification. We did that on the last call. So if you need more information about that, please email our VR help desk for that. We'll start with the work number verification. Keep in mind that SSA no longer has access to the work number. So if for whatever reason you're having issues with earnings or you're getting denials based on earnings, it is for you to seek work number verification. We have on page 30 of our updated handbook the means for sending us SGA information, and that goes from pay stubs to employer signed statements with FICA withholding, and then, of course, the printout from the work number. You can always attach that to the work case, and then those are approved SSA evidence for earning if you are having those issues with earning. Our 950 notices, we've been getting questions about those 950 notices. That has to do with savings to the trust fund. And we're having certain system limitations at this time. So our system isn't automatically generating those 950 notices. So if by chance you receive a notice and it seems like there are money variations on your notice, saying it was supposed to be this amount, it was reduced to this amount, and the actual amount will be reduced, please email the help desk, or you can email me, shada.t.roper@ssa.gov, and I'll make sure you have a new notice generated with that 950 code and the language that says your your amount of your dollars has been reduced to whatever due to savings to the trust fund, but it is not an automatic thing that is generated like it was in our previous system. And I believe that was all that I have today.
Before we go to questions and answers, I just want to give everyone a quick tip. Because pretty much all of the VR team, our work-from-home schedules are all different, so at least 2 days a week, we all work from home on different days. So it's so much easier for you to reach us via email as opposed to calling. I mean, you're more than welcome to call and leave a message. We have no problem with that, but it's so much easier. Just know that we always have our emails open the 5 days that we're working, so it's probably much easier, much quicker to reach out to us via email, whether you're emailing us personally or the VR help desk. You're reaching out to the same people. So that's just an FYI. And at this time, Levi, we're going to go ahead and open up the lines for any questions.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll go to another question from Eugenia Cox with the State of Oregon.
Hello. You had said that you talked about the denial code 310 on the last call, and I don't remember that conversation. My question was, why are you using the code 310, and what does it mean?
Okay. Hi, Eugenia. That was in the transcripts from the last call, so I'll just run through it briefly. What's happening is you were previously able to, because it was on paper, to somehow have negative expenditures.
Okay. I didn't know that those two were related. So 310 is for, was the 310 the one that says that the client refused?
Yes, Eugenia, and we're working on changing the language in that notice. I know it's a little bit confusing, but we are working on changing those notices in the language.
Okay.
Thank you.
I didn't connect the two. I'm sorry. But I remember that conversation. I just don't remember why the wording was on 310 that matched that. Okay. And my other question is there's pretty much all of the code, all the statements, documents for the payments that are coming in that were reduced for the savings to the trust are not a 950. I've actually just been changing it and putting it in as a 950 into our Morrow ticket tracker because it's treated differently in our system as far as, you know, why did we get so much of a reduction? Well, we know because it was a 950. So we've just been automatically doing it. If we were actually sending you the ones that should have been a 950, we'd be doing a lot of sending. And I'm not sure that you want us to do that, do you?
Thank you, and we appreciate that, Eugenia. Sometimes you need that verbiage in the notice. That's why we're just saying if you actually need that language to say it's been reduced due to savings.
Oh, it's on there already. It does tell us that it's been reduced by a savings to the trust on the back of the statement.
It says it not in the first paragraph in the language if it's coded 900 or some other code, but it does the dollar amount as a 900.
Yeah, it shows us on the back, and that's the reason I know for sure it's a 950. So, I mean, if somebody needed, you know, evidence or whatever that they were reduced, they would always have the statement. But, I mean, I guess we can send that to you, but like I said, that would be pretty much reverses of the statements and sending out more statements. And then, are you there?
We're here.
Okay. And then the other thing I wanted to say is for those people that can't afford to go to Washington, D.C. to go to the CSAVR training, the two-day training for Social Security, we are looking at using CSAVR's conference lines to be able to do a peer-to-peer training for individuals to cover different topics. Oregon VR and Virginia VR and Utah and Maryland, we're looking at putting together something that we can cover different topics like claim denials or, you know, portal, you know, specific topics that people can actually call in to be able to respond to those questions and have it available to all the VRs that can't afford to travel for those types of trainings.
Thank you, Eugenia. We appreciate you reaching out and going that extra mile. So thank you so much.
We'll go to our next question from Jeff Warder with Social Security.
Hi there. I was just wondering if you could repeat the information about Social Security no longer having access to the work number and maybe elaborate more on that.
Hi, this is Shada. We do not look up the earnings using the work number for the VRs anymore. We use whatever Social Security systems we have to verify our earnings. So if for whatever reasons you have earning discrepancies and it's not on our system, then you would have to go to the work number and provide that information for us.
So Social Security field offices continue to be able to use the work number to verify wages, correct?
The field office, not we here in VR, though.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
We'll go to our next question from Miraj Patel with Social Security Department.
My question was answered.
Hi, Levi. This is Sean. Can you take me on offline?
Certainly. One moment.
Do y'all hear anything?
Able to queue up the next question.
Our next question comes from again from Eugenia Cox with State of Oregon.
One more question. He prompted me a question on the work number verification. In some cases, when we can't get information, like for military, you know, some of the militaries are noted. Or like this, you know, post office or whatever. That's how we get them through the work number. Do you guys have a venue of looking for those types of wages, don't you?
Hi, Eugenia. This is Shada again. We look at the wages through the SSA system. If the field office posted information for us to see, then that's what we see. If IRS posts information for us to see, that's what we see. We are not here in VR able to reach out to anybody per se. We just use Social Security systems with all the information that we have.
Okay. Okay. Because I'm just, I assume that you guys know all of it a lot less more than we do, but. I just wanted to make sure you guys had the same verifications, or we need to keep an eye on it more.
We don't necessarily know where that information is coming from aside from our Social Security system. So
okay. Okay.
Our earnings office is responsible for that, and so once that information is put out there to us, that's how we receive the information.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll go to our next question from Paulette Narr with Vocational Rehab Services.
Yeah, hi. Paulette from New Jersey here. I have a question. Sometimes I've gotten claim denials, and it said that I didn't file the claim in a timely manner, although I do them quarterly. And then the SGA that's listed is within that year's time that it's noted you received the claim, and that's a little confusing to me. If it's been within that year of the SGA that's counted, or at least what's noted on the notice, I'm not really sure why we would get denial based on our claim being submitted late.
Hi, this is Shada again. If for whatever reason you're having any SGA issues such as that, you can send it to the help desk for reconsideration. But the general law is that we take a year from the last month of SGA. So if you're having those kind of denials, please send the claims, the work case number, the date of denial, any information you can tell us about the claim to the help desk, and we will review those as reconsiderations. We'll decide if we need you to upload those, or should I say resubmit those claims to the portal again.
Okay. I did submit some through the portal to see what would happen. I think one or two were – I didn't do a lot. At first I was just accepting them, and I thought it was error on our part. Then I started, I did submit them through the portal, the ones I could find through the portal. Not, I couldn't find everything. And I think maybe one or two was accepted. The other one was still denied, still said it was late. But you're saying that I can contact you via email and then you'll let me know if I need to go or can go in the portal, because not every claim is necessarily there, and I forget where. Where I could click on the link and then I could go in there and I could resubmit or a claim. So am I understanding that correctly? I should email the help desk first?
Once the claim has been denied, then it's just denied. If you're saying these claims were denied erroneously, we would have to know what's happening with the claim. So you would have to redo those claims. The denial stands under that work case number. However, you're now requesting reconsideration. So because you are requesting a reconsideration, we need the SSN involved, what work case numbers were involved, and then information about that of the date of the denial. When you are resubmitting those claims, if we say please go ahead and resubmit those claims as reconsideration, you would have to do it again, and you would have a new work case number produced. And on that work case number, we ask that you put in the remarks, because we're having problems with our reconsideration system. So we ask that you put in the remarks, when was the original filing date of the claim, therefore you won't get a second untimely denial.
Okay, but again, I just want to be clear about this. Am I emailing you first with all the pertinent information for you to get back to me to tell me to do a resubmittal?
You can email me directly.
Okay.
We'll go to our next question from Susan Tejan with Department for Aging and Rehabilitative Services.
I'm sorry, I have my answer. Thank you.
We'll go to another question from Eugenia Cox with the State of Oregon.
Hello, did you miss me? Let's see. I wanted to ask, or I wanted to let everybody know that we've actually been going through each one. Whenever we get the statements in the mail, I look at each one of them, and if I suspect that there's something that didn't get caught, or if there's a claim for two different people and each one was denied paid and one was denied that no SGA was met, what I do is I put it on an email to the VR help desk, and I send it with the name and the SSN and what I'm looking at as far as what the discrepancy I think is. And I do this a lot, and they're very, very helpful in the VR help desk. And they will look at each one, and they'll say, okay, well, we were able to do a resubmittal on this one, or you need to resubmit this one. Something went wrong with the transport of into the portal, or this was correct at the time that, we denied it, but now it's not. So a lot of the states are afraid to send in, to challenge these, and I don't think Social Security takes it as, offensive to be able to say, hey, we think something's wrong with this. And like I said, Raquel and all that team are really good about responding and telling you what you need to do with each claim that you have questions for. And as far as I know, there's no issue with us doing that. But like I said, don't be afraid to send in a request to see if they could look at it or whatever, instead of sending it again through, and not knowing whether you should be sending or resubmitting the claim. Send it to the VR help desk, and they will let you know what you need to do with it, or whether the claim was denied correctly or so on and so forth. Like I said, they're really good about that, and you shouldn't be afraid to be able to do that.
Thanks, Eugenia. And just I'm sorry, Levi, just to piggyback on what Eugenia was saying, when she or I do have other VRs that do that as well, and we definitely don't have a problem with it. That is our job. That's our responsibility to review that information for you. However, when they do send that information, they don't just email us and say, hey, I got this claim. It was denied. I don't think it should be. They instead of including documentation, they may say, I'm showing SGA for this quarter, this quarter, and this quarter. What are you showing? Or what quarters were denied or what months were denied? So when they send the email to us, they at least have some type of rebuttal or argument as to why they think it's incorrect, as opposed to just saying, I think it's wrong. So if you provide us with additional information, then that helps us to actually review the claim and let you know, like Eugenia said, sometimes it's quicker for me to create the reconsideration right then and there. There's just times when I'm unable to, and that's only because whatever was uploaded initially was incorrect. If the beneficiary is concurrent, meaning they're receiving both, and when I look at the original claim and it's only showing that they received SSDI, I can't do a reconsideration for it because it's looking for information that's not there. So that's when I turn around and I'll ask the VR to upload it for me. Even when I do that, I have you guys send me the reference number, the SSA reference number, or the work case number, whichever one you call it, and it's quicker for me to go in and just take care of it right then and there. Thanks, Levi. Go ahead.
We'll go next to another question from Susan Tejan with Department for Aging and Rehabilitative Services.
Hello. I'm sitting here with David Leon, and he actually has the question.
Yeah, really, with those 950 cases, it does seem that in Virginia our experience in the last 6 months is that the amounts we are claiming versus what we are being paid has been a significant reduction for what appears to be savings to the trust. And when I've looked at that data across other years, that percentage has increased greatly. Can you explain or help me understand the changes in the, I guess it is the tables that decide that?
Hi, David. This is Shada. You can email myself or Candace directly or the help desk, and we'll get back to you on that. Yes, we don't use the same calculations that you might be using, so we'll get back to that.
Well, part of why I'm asking is, in our agency, we are expected to forecast and, you know, create budgets around what we think we will get. And so to see such a big difference, I'm trying to have a better number as we are putting forth our stuff for the next year. And again, it just, I don't really have anything to go on other than what appears to be across the board an additional 30% reduction. And that doesn't fit with what I've read in the OIG report, or maybe it does and I just don't understand it. But I'll email.
Hi, David. As I said, we'll get back to you on that. We are working on our system now having to do with the 950. And as I expressed, the way the cap is calculated is not necessarily how you believe that it's calculated. So we've had this question from other VRs. We are working on it currently. And so the best thing for you to do would be to email us directly or email the help desk.
Thank you.
And we'll go to our next question. It'll be another question from Paulette Narr with Vocational Rehab Services.
Yeah, hi. It was just to piggyback on what we were talking about when we see discrepancies. That's good to know. I didn't know that I could do it that way. I did try to respond to Raquel last week when we were also when we were asked what did we want to bring up in the meeting, I was also not just talking about the STA, but sometimes I've been notified that I was going to get paid, and then I'll get another notice that I'm not getting paid, and I might get several responses on one claim, at which I've been noting all of it into Ticket Tracker so I can see how many are coming in. So what I want to ask is, I will go over those. I did try to find some last week to send in, and then I couldn't find what I wanted to find some samples. But I just wanted to know, how far back can we go if I go back and I look at some of these that I've received? Do I have 30 days? Do I have 60 days from that?
Hi, Paulette. We're following the SGA period, so there is no days per se. We're looking at the first time you filed the claim. That's why I said that you have to remark to us, when was the first time that you filed the claim? If you filed the claim last year and now you want us to go back, we're using that first filing date as the date in case you're saying that we miscounted SGA.
Yeah, I am looking at the date, or at least I'm looking at the date, which does coincide with the information I have in Ticket Tracker. So I go by that date, and then I look at the SGA date that's listed on there, and that's why I'm saying, well, it's within a year that you're saying that you received the claim, and it's a year when you're saying that last date of SGA that you're using. But what I'm asking is, like, sometimes when we're asked for information, we're given a limited amount of time, or if we're disputing a claim, we have a limited amount of time. It's either 30 days or 60 days. If I want to go back and look at some of the ones and go a little bit more thoroughly than what I was trying to do last week, I was trying to get some information to you really quickly because I had promised I would do it early this week, or last week rather. How far back can I go? In other words, 30 days from the date that I received my response, can I go back and dispute something? Or ones I have been getting over probably the last 3 or 4 months that I've been doing this, when I wasn't really sure because I'm relatively new and my training wasn't really, really complete until the person who was doing this went on to another task. So sometimes I'm kind of floundering. How far can I go back to dispute any of the ones that I've received that were confusing to me or seemed conflicting? Again, with a reason why I would be disputing it or explaining why this is confusing to me.
Hey, Paulette. Oh, sorry. This is Raquel. As far as the expiration you're talking about, that is only for notices. For example, if you're sent a C7 or a C3 notice where we're requesting or PVR, where we're requesting additional information, those have expirations on it. But what you're talking about, if you have stuff that you think from 3-4 months back, you're questioning, you want us to review stuff like the spreadsheet that Eugenia was speaking of earlier, there's no expiration on that. If it's from 3-4 months back and you feel like they were denied an error and you have rebuttal and you have, you know, backup documentation as to why you want us to review it again, that's fine.
Okay.
There's no expiration on reconsiderations.
Okay.
Because we still use the initial date that you submitted the claim, the very original date.
Yes, yes. And definitely that's what I'm looking at before I question it. I am going by those dates. So I will go over everything and anything that I had questions for and also have a rebuttal for it, I will be sending it to you.
Okay.
All right.
We'll go to our next question. It's another question from Eugenia Cox with the State of Oregon.
Hi, it's Eugenia again. If anybody has any questions on how I submit any issues I have with any claims, just give me a call or send me an email, and I can show you the format that I use. I actually take pictures of certain things like our wage data and things like that, and I also put in the SSA reference number, all that information. And what I try not to do is send a million different requests. So what I'll do is when I get a big batch of statements, I'll go through each one of the statements, write down what I see is an issue, and then I'll just put all those, the ones that I have an issue with, on one document that I password protect, and then I send it on to them. And then they have a chance to look at each individual one, and Raquel usually will just respond to each little section and tell me what I need to do, or, you know, that, you know, it was not a mistake or anything like that. But if you need the format or if you have any questions, and it sounds like the person that just called has the ticket tracker, which we also have, the Morrow tracker, I am perfectly willing to help anybody that needs that assistance or send you a template of what I use. I've been doing this a long time. So, but my other question is, and it was one of the questions that I sent in for to have responded to on this call, was I have an issue. A lot of times I'll have an issue when I'm submitting a claim and the person's name is too long. And my question is that there's 15 characters that you're allowed to use for the person's name. And my question is, if I have somebody that has a really long first name, middle name, and a really short last name, where do I take those letters off to make it a 15 character name? And in some cases, it's been rejected several times until I have to try to figure out how I shorten the name to get it to fit to send into the portal. That's one of the rejections I get, is the name and the length of the name. And then another rejection that I get when I'm submitting a claim is that it didn't save properly. And it'll send me back and we were just dealing with this on the VR help desk, was it'll send back that it went through, it gave it an SSA reference number, but you guys don't see it. And it was a denial that, you know, I'm not sure how I'm supposed to fix that, because it is giving it an SSN number, but it isn't going through. So I guess my question is a twofold, is that how do I fix the name to get it to fit? And two, on that particular error that comes through, we're still getting a SSN reference number, so we may not even know it's an error unless you're really scrutinizing the error report that you're getting to know how to resubmit. So I'm just still a little confused on that, if you guys could respond to that.
Katie, are you on the line?
I sure am. Can you hear me?
Yes. Did you hear Eugene's okay. question?
I did. The first question was how to figure out what name you should submit for the beneficiary.
Not what name. How do I shorten the name? Where do I take it off of? How do I shorten it under the first name? Do I shorten it under the last name? I don't know how it's going to take it. It's about shortening and where I shorten it from. It isn't necessarily what name I use.
Are you doing this with the XML file?
Yeah, this is the one submitted with the portal batches. It rejects them if the name is too long.
Okay. I would assume it would start, it would truncate from the right. You have any examples where that's not the case? Or you just don't know?
Yeah, it's you know, the one that I had so much trouble with not too long ago, the name, last name was really short. And had I shortened the last name, there wouldn't have been any last name. So I had to, you know, send it to the VR help desk to say, how do I shorten this name to get the portal the portal to take it? So that's one of the confusing parts is it takes it, if it doesn't take a claim, if the name is too long, where do we reduce it without causing a name change where it'll reject it for some other reason because it isn't the correct name?
Okay, I don't believe that's in the XML requirements that we sent forward with how to do, what to do there.
Uh-huh.
I will go back to the original programmers and ask them, and I will either put the guidance in the meeting notes or I will send something out as soon as I find the answer. So they're going
to
figure out what the logic itself does.
Yeah, I can send you an example, the one that gave me so much trouble. Yeah. Okay. And then the second one was that other denial. The one where it sends us a BR reference, I mean an SSA reference number, but the claim was never accepted.
Correct. That's an ongoing production problem. There seems to be a system error, like a glitch that happens when the file is uploading. It will not actually create a work case in our system. It will indicate on the file whether or not it was successful. I mean, you have to open the file to look at to see what actually made a work case or not. It will tell you there's a Y or an N. Anything that was an N, you do need to resubmit. I mean, it's almost like the monthly in-use files. You should be going through and looking at them and seeing what the response was in the file, not just assuming that everything worked correctly. We're definitely working to fix that, but right now it seems to be very glitchy. We can't isolate it to a certain thing that's going on. It's very random, but it does seem to be happening. We're trying to isolate it. The best thing I can say is that you just need to do your due diligence until we've told you that it's fixed.
Yeah.
And you need to check the file to see that it actually, even though it gave you a number, it doesn't mean it's a real number in our system.
Yeah, that's where I think, you know, it screws us up is it gives us a number, so we assume that if it's assigned us a number, it's in there, but that isn't necessarily the case.
Yeah, it's like the system starts to make it, like, it gets as far enough as making a work case, right? So because that number is never going to be used again. So it goes as far as to make a work case, and then something happens, and it stops. So we are definitely looking into that, and we'll keep you posted when it gets fixed. But if you could just,
I'll be looking at it really close. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Thank you.
And like I said, it is safe to resubmit because it didn't create anything, so there's nothing wrong with trying to submit that again, the one that didn't work.
And it'll give me a new SSA case number when I resubmit it.
Yes, it will. Yes.
Okay. Correct. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We'll go next to a question from Winston Martin with New York State Commission for the Blind.
Hi. I just have, two questions, actually. Now, we don't have GMRR here as yet. We haven't installed it yet on our end, so we generally used to do the paper claim. And then as of December, we started doing them manually in the system since we cannot batch upload them. Now, I have a stack of about 170 that I started working on from December down to about 30. Now, if I have a claim that was rejected because we were a day late, would I be able to resubmit them since I'm still new at trying to figure out how to enter this manually, what to look for? Now, will that be an issue if I resubmit it for reconsideration and give a whole explanation saying that this was a claim that I originally we used to send in, but now we're entering it manually? And it's only a day late from the we missed it by a day. I think it said the last day to submit it was the 28th, but I submitted it on the 1st or the 2nd. It was a day or two late. Would I be able to submit that for reconsideration?
Hey, Winston, it's Raquel. How are you?
Good. How are you, Raquel?
Good. So when you say you were a day late, does it mean that you went into, after the ninth month of SGA, you went into the next month? Is that what you mean by a day late?
Well, I know we have a year to submit it completely. So a year after the ninth month, so I missed the year by a day or two.
So here's the thing. The system will deny it based off of the date that you input. So the hard thing is to say, we're okay with you being 1 or 2 days late, but we're not okay with you being 3 or 4 days late. The system says after 1 year, it's late. Unless you've already reached out to us and we've given you a waiver for whatever reason, you know, and again, when you have circumstances that aren't, that are beyond your control, then we always take that into consideration. But if it's after the fact that you're saying, oh, I was just a day late, can you reconsider, then that wouldn't be a good reason to reconsider it or to waive the untimely filing.
Understood. Got it. Second question is, under check assignability, is the SGA amount there accurate? Because I've submitted a few claims and they were rejected at 225, but that under the check assignability says that they have 9, 10, 11 months of SGA. I just sent a bunch in for reconsideration, but there are a few that I'm holding on from submitting because I'm seeing that it says 9, but if I have a lot that's been rejected because it doesn't meet SGA, but on the portal it says 9 or more, and they're still being rejected, I'm not sure if I should just submit it. And if it gets kicked back as 225, I'll just hold off. Or if maybe I'm reading it wrong.
Winston, you can do like Eugenia had suggested earlier, and that is if you have a question like that where, let's say you are denied a 225, then we do have the VRs that reach out and say, hey, I have this claim, and I'm showing 9 months here. Can you tell me what months were below SGA? We will review that and let you know. But sometimes I'm not sure where you're looking and it's giving you months of SGA, because that's information that 9 times out of 10, the VRs don't have that. That you guys have quarterly information, but you very rarely have monthly information as far as earnings are concerned. So you'll
got
look
it.
At it, you'll think that there's straight not 9 months worth of SGA or 3 quarters of SGA, and we can look at it and see that maybe 1 or 2 months were below SGA.
Understood. Okay, thank you. I probably was looking at the wrong spot then. Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is Katie. I do want to jump in. The portal gives you earnings in the last 24 months, so just saying that they're 9 or 10, whatever months it tells you, it does not mean they're consecutive and meet the earnings requirements for a payment. It's just supposed to be an indication of whether or not a beneficiary you have is working or has worked recently and what kind of level of earnings they have. That little indicator was never meant to tell you to submit a claim.
We'll go next to Eric Schmidt with Maryland Division of Rehabilitation Services.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
We sure can, Eric. How are you?
I'm good. I'm driving, so I appreciate that you guys can hear me on the speakerphone. So really quick to just follow up on two things, and it may be Katie related. That one that you just were talking about with that months in a 24-month period, I actually had a question about that because I actually have been using that not as like the – usually the sole way to find SGA, but it's when I can't use a CUBR or I don't have federal or I have no other sources, and I track it for a year and it's 0000, and then it starts going 1, 2, 3, 4, 9. Then I may file a claim on that, and I've been paid on those. So it is somewhat useful. You got to be, you know, take it with a grain of salt. I had my question about that, though, is I've been tracking that for some cases, and they go 0000, 12 months. In a one-month turnaround, it goes from no months in the 12 in a 24-month period to you're reporting 12. I was just trying to figure out what's being input into that that's giving that jump, or you know, I'm thinking, well, is it too late to file on something like this? Is it going to be timely or something like that? So can you give me a little bit of information on what's populating that?
Sure, it's a bit of a programming that it's doing. It's taking all of SSA's earnings that we have available and getting it down to a monthly value. So the example you're giving of all of a sudden having 12 months probably means that we got the yearly IRS data in, and it divided that yearly figure by 12 and got that monthly amount. So it's
okay.
Told that
yeah.
Those earnings came in. SSA Security didn't have anything on that beneficiary at a monthly level.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. Well, I would say, you know, for folks who can't find any other source, I wouldn't rely on it. And like you said, I wouldn't use it necessarily to submit a claim, but if there's no other sources around and, you know, we don't have CUBR or something like that, it has gotten us paid on some claims. So it is helpful. My other question or response to a prior question was related to those ones that it's, you said there's the glitch in the system and it's not producing that claim. It seems like the larger the batch that I produce, the more likely I am to get some of those. And then also, if I do more than one claim for the same individual, like this last one, I submitted a batch of 100. There was probably 5 or 6 individuals that I did more than one claim on that individual. Every single one of them just about had one of those extra claims not processed correctly. So I don't know if that could give you a little hint or something to look into a little bit further. But it seems to me like when I do more than one for the same individual, they almost always glitch out and I have to resubmit them another time.
Thanks for information. We'll look into it. Thank you.
Uh-huh. No problem.
And there are no further questions at this time.
And that concludes our call for today. The next call will be Tuesday, July 10th at 3 p.m. And as usual, I will be sending out emails to everyone for suggestions, issues. I try to do that like a month before just to give you guys a heads up to think about it. So thank you so much and hope everyone enjoys the rest of their day.
This concludes today's conference. We appreciate your participation. You may now disconnect.